You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is Overdrive.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's mailing in Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
It's mailing in Friday. With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Craig Button. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays at 5:30. The big night down at the ACC as the Raptors kick off their unofficial second half. With Boston in town, a team they're chasing, Serge Ibaka will make his debut tonight. We're still waiting to hear on whether or not P.J. Tucker will make his debut. For whatever reason, the physical still wasn't completed by shoot-around this morning. He was at the gym watching them shoot around, but he couldn't partake. Like, why does it take so long to get a physical done? He got traded yesterday afternoon. I know he had to fly up here, but wouldn't they have the doctor sitting there waiting for him to go through that? Like, I don't know what the league protocol is, but same kind of thing happened with Serge Ibaka, where there was a debate whether or not he would be ready. Turns out he didn't play in that first game. But I want to see both guys in the lineup tonight. So we'll see what Jeff Weltman has to say about that. He's the GM of the Raps. He'll join us in about an hour. Leafs-Habs tomorrow night. Habs losing last night. The Leafs got a point in overtime. They are 1-7 in the shootout, and they have lost 12 games in either overtime or the shootout. That is more than any team in the league. 1-7 is the worst shootout record in the league.
Shootout guy from the dressing room can go away. The expert that comes out and says, you shoot, this guy shoot, this is what the... Just stay in the dressing room. Don't come out anymore.
It's not helping, whatever they're supplying the information. I mean, you could just feel it.
You know that meme where it's like you had one job? You're the shootout guy. You're not anymore.
1-7. They can't win in shootouts, and that could be the difference. You know, at the end of the year, when you've got such a long season, there are so many different things you can look back on. You look at individual games, you can look at months, you can look at weeks, and then you can look at statistics, or you can look at overall how players played. But if for whatever reason the Leafs miss, this will be a stat that will be hammered throughout the summer. How you went 1-7 or 1-8 in the shootout. How you lost 12 different times in overtime in the shootout.
Do you remember how Marty Turco used to play in the shootout?
Remember, not really.
He used to turn sideways. He used to turn sideways or turn different ways, right? And, you know, you'd be coming in at him. And he told me once, he said, you know why I do that? He says, to make the shooter think about one more thing other than what he wants to do. Make him think about me. And that's, you know, there is a mental aspect to it, right? So he says, if I turn sideways and they don't know, and if I turn the other way, you know, it's unorthodox. They never see that. What the hell is this guy doing? Yeah, exactly.
Well, Austin Matthews, you're my first guy up. Mitch Marner, you're second, and it's either Nylander or Kadri. That's it. Well, Austin Matthews is going first, though, every time.
And he scored last night. He shot second, I believe it was. Nylander, I think, went first.
I thought that game was over in the breakaway in overtime when Matthews came in. I had it booked.
It felt that way. Yeah. It felt like another big moment where he was going to close the deal.
It really did.
And you got to give credit to Henrik Lundqvist. He played brilliantly last night. But that's been their issue. It's not as much the goaltender giving up goals. They can't score on the shootout. They cannot score.
No.
Like, their numbers
are
abysmal.
There's some talented guys going down there, too.
And they're batting, like, 150 or something in the shootout. Like, it's really low. They just do not find a way to beat the goaltender. I don't know why it is. I don't know how it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's fluky. That is the shootout.
But when you look at the shootout percentages, like goal scoring and save percentage, right? The Leafs are so far below it. Like, they are so far below it that's the concern. It would be one thing if, like you said, okay, they've had some bad luck or they just haven't ended up on the right side, but they are so below the numbers that's the one that says, okay, but you got to look at some things.
Right. Like, what is the formula here? Who's going? Do you throw out someone randomly and just hope to get lucky? I don't know. Obviously, the best plan would be to completely avoid the shootout altogether.
Well, we were laughing last night, just and completely tongue-in-cheek, completely joking. So I want to preface that. But we were joking that last night, the two coaches that could be on the hot seat were Mike Smith's goalie coach and the shootout coach for the Leafs.
Exactly. Shootout guy.
Patty King was scoring some, like, they were wrist shots, and it was just
Did you see the one goal where he scored where Mike Smith was backing up into the net, and it was turned sideways, and it was, oh, God, Mike Smith was awful. I swear, he looked like it was the first time playing net.
You don't hear a coach come out and just carve a goaltender's work ethic. Like Tippett, like he took a run at two or three guys last night, but that's a tough gig. I mean, Tippett's been there for a long time, and by all accounts, he's got some power. He's got a new title, so he's a part of this restructuring and rebuilding.
He also must be getting sick of it. He's a competitive guy. To he be watching sure that is. Garbage.
They're a mess.
And he's a good coach in my view, too.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that was noticeable last night, and it has been noticeable all year, the Leafs have the number one power play in the league. There's no way any other team in the league gives up more odd man rushes on the power play. There's just no way. Like, they gave up multiple breakaways, two-on-ones, a three-on-one they gave up. Remember, we were sitting there beside, we both looked at it, we're like, that's a three-on-one on the power play.
Now you put a forward back there, and he's kind of, you play with a one man up top, you're going to have those situations with creative guys out there.
I guess. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro. Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. I guess you'll take that, though, Ray. Like, if you have the number one power play, you can't really complain. But doesn't it feel like the Leafs give up a lot of odd man rushes on their own power play?
Well, I thought they were most dangerous for both teams on that power play.
Right.
Like, it was somebody was going to get a chance. And their power play went through that, I don't know, two or three times there. They weren't very good last night. But they're never dull. I got to say this about the Leafs, whether they can defend or not defend or whatever, they are certainly not dull this year. Like, they had the power play. They turned the one puck over, was a two-on-one, went back up the ice. Somebody missed the net. That was the end of the power play. It was a three-on-one. I think that must have been the one you guys were talking about.
Yep.
But it was like it was within 15 seconds. You'd think after you get scared the first time, you'd go, okay, I'm going to back off a little bit here. But they're driving straight forward. It's see, I don't think you give up too many, you know, you give up a great many more because you've got a forward back there. I think you give up more because your mentality is super aggressive, and nobody's really too concerned that, oh, you know, we got to get back. It's like score, score, score. I don't mind it, really.
Well, in glass half full, they've got the number one power play in the league. So
yeah, if you're 19th on the power play and you're giving up chances and shorties all over the place, then you got a problem. I mean, I think they've probably given up four shorthanded goals this year. That's not bad.
No. Over the course of the year, you go in, you know it's going to happen, right?
You get near double digits, and you got a problem.
Right.
Ray, you played against a really good power play that the Quebec Nordiques had with Stastny and J.F. Sauvé at the point. Did they give up a lot of chances the other way?
No. You know what, though, Craig? They didn't, and I think one of the reasons was nobody really attacked on the penalty kill. Like, you get it and shoot it down the ice. Or, you know, you were in your zone and you stayed in your box. And, you know, there was very little aggression on the sideboard. You didn't pressure the points too much. You know, I don't recall it being like that. Sauvé was really good back there. And so for people that don't know him, he was like this unbelievably skilled guy that was literally 5'5". He looked like somebody's little brother came on the ice for the game. And he moved the puck around. Then they'd get it to Peter Stastny on the half wall. And, you know, it was lights out. You know, they were just so good.
Leafs Habs tomorrow night. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. And we have a poll question up on Twitter at Overdrive 1050, brought to you by Cold Hockey. Visit the website, coldhockey.com. What would be the bigger surprise down the stretch? The Habs missing the playoffs or the Maple Leafs winning the division? What would be a bigger surprise for you?
Habs missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to make it. I don't think the Leafs would win the division. I mean, I'd be stunned if they won the division. But, you know, if Montreal misses, that would be just another epic collapse.
Well, we were saying, Ray, the last team to collapse like the Montreal Canadiens is the Montreal Canadiens last year.
Like, at least last year, though, don't you think they could go, oh, yeah, we didn't have the goalie and we didn't have, you know, Gallagher was hurt, and they ended up with a whole bunch of guys banged up at the end of the year.
Okay.
Like, there was an excuse.
Okay, so PK Subban's left the dressing room because apparently that was an issue.
Right.
They changed the coach, so what the hell is it now?
Maybe they need to take a little bit harder look at their players. I mean, what else is there, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I guess, you know, before Galchenyuk got hurt, he had had some pretty good stats for about 50 games, like really good stats. Since he got hurt and then returned, well, obviously he was hurt, he couldn't do anything, but since he's returned, he's just been a shadow of himself. Plekanec's there, you know, he's in year one of this $12 million two-year deal, and he doesn't even resemble a dangerous player on the ice. So they're your top two centers. You know, I mean, look at their defense. I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, it should be better. You think it's better, except it's really not. I don't know. They're in the top of a weak division is really the way it's got to be looked at, I think.
Well, they're also going to be fighting for their lives. Kind of like they're right in the thick of it now. I don't think they're atop of anything.
Well, I saw that.
Yes.
So what is it? Nine from first to ninth, it's 4 points, 5 points?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So for all the complaining, you know, I might do or other people might do about, I don't like that some games are worth 2 points and some games are worth three. I think it's silly. But if the divisions and the conferences are jammed up like that, then I guess it's probably serving its purpose, isn't it?
Well, to put it into perspective, if the Leafs win tomorrow night in regulation, they're two back of the Habs with a game in hand. And it's a weird setup tomorrow night because the Habs have beat the Leafs 13 times in a row.
It's got to change eventually, doesn't it?
It has to. But this is where the Leaf pessimist in me says, uh-oh, they're catching the Habs actually at the wrong time because they're so due to break out. You know, they're so due to actually win a game. Of course, this is when they'll do it tomorrow night. But if you're just being objective and sitting there and not taking in, you know, emotions into account, it's the perfect time to meet Montreal because they appear to be a tire fire right now.
They can't get anything right now. I mean, they don't defend very well. They certainly can't score. I was looking today. They got 20 goals in their last 12 games. They've lost five straight at home. And they've scored six goals in those five games. So yesterday we were talking and about the Leafs' ability to win a low-scoring game, and I said they're just not built to win any of these games. And then they could have won six times yesterday in a 2-1 game. You know, if Anderson is good, why can't they win tomorrow? He was terrific yesterday. They could have been blown out of the water early. Then after that, I mean, the game was as good as you could possibly hope for. I mean, he was awesome yesterday.
He played really well. And he seems like a streaky type of goalie, right? Like, if it's going bad for Freddie, man, is he in a dark place. But once it turns around, it seems like he kind of runs off 8 to 10 starts in a row where he's an elite top 7 or 8 guy in the league. And this would be a perfect time for that.
Just think of the guys that don't go through those ups and downs. Like how, you know, and they're really reliable and they play 55 to 65 games a year. Like, man, those guys they're so few and far between. Everybody has ruts in their season. When you're the goalie, it must suck. When you know you don't feel comfortable, the only job you have is to stop the puck. At least when you're a player and you feel brutal, you can run into somebody or you can do something else to partially contribute. If you're the goalie and you got a month where the puck looks like a pee, man, it must be brutal.
A couple of trades have happened over the past hour or so. Patrick Eves going from Dallas to Anaheim for a conditional second rounder that could turn into a first round pick. And just moments ago, Thomas Yurko traded from Detroit.
Trade center is going to be fun, Ray.
To Chicago for a
third
rounder.
Oh, we love it, don't we?
No.
I mean, listen, these guys, you had Ron Hainsey getting a second round pick. The Calgary trade, they acquired Stone for what, a third rounder?
Well, Landon played with Yurko.
Guys we're talking about.
I know, what's your take on Yurko, Ray?
He's got all the look of a really good player. He's very skilled. He's big. He's not a. I would say he's more of a like a powerful skater than a fast skater. You know, like you're not going to look at him and go, "Oh my God, he's a blazer," but he's big enough and he's strong enough that he should be a guy that can hold a spot at least, and then I mean, he's only 24. He should be. There's growth for him, but he doesn't seem to push through the barriers very well. So he gets stuck on the outside. He kind of stands around, and then I think for a lot of young players, when they do that, then they don't play. He's been hurt. He's had some back problems, and then I think they kind of forget what they are. You're just out there. He doesn't, like, what does he do? He's not a penalty killer. He's supposed to provide offense. He can't get a regular spot on a team that's really struggling, and so you just sit there. You sit around. So I think this is a decent deal by Chicago, who's had all kinds of, I won't say trouble, but they've rotated around about six or seven guys on that fourth line. Maybe he gives them a little pop. Maybe he finds a new lease on life. He's only known the Detroit organization. And for a third-round pick, I mean, Detroit gets a decent return. He was a second-round pick. They turn it around for a third-round pick. They gave it a go. It didn't work. And, and so I don't know that he can make an impact. I got more thought that Patrick Eves will make an impact in Anaheim. Eves has had a great year. He's a strong guy, kills penalties, can really shoot it, And Anaheim doesn't score much. They struggle to score. They've tried all kinds of guys with Getzlaff. Right now they're playing that Kasha and Richie with them, two young guys. I would think that might be a place Eves would get a look. But if, in Anaheim, they can do whatever they want. If Corey Perry doesn't find some semblance of game, I watched the other night. I didn't even notice him. If he doesn't find something, they're not going to be a contender.
Man, will we be talking about that contract for the next 6 years? The Corey Perry deal at, what is it, $8.6 million or something a year?
Well, didn't him and Getzlaff sign about the same deal?
Yeah. Right, yeah, around the same. North of eight for 8 years, I believe it was.
How many goals does he have?
I think 11.
Yeah. I'm not even sure he's hit that. He's really struggling.
Ricard Raquel has more goals than Perry and Getzlaff combined.
There you go.
Here's something to keep in mind. Raquel's had this, has had a pretty incredible season. He was, playing left wing at the start of the year with Perry and Getzlaff, and they've really struggled to find any balance. So they move him into the middle. They try to, bounce their lineup around looking for balance. And he's one of the few guys that has started the year not in camp. He was, he held out and he was sick at the start of the year, and he missed quite a bit of time. They got Raquel at 6 years, under $4 million, and he's in the mid-20s in goals. So that might be one that they look at and hope it can balance out, the dole that they're paying Perry. Because if this is what he is, and it's too early to say that, but this has been a pretty crappy year. That is an albatross you can't get away from.
Ricard Raquel, another guy with a Leaf connection. That was the Leaf pick when they moved up to take Tyler Biggs. And
he was the pick they...
Yeah, Raquel.
He wasn't the only pick. There was another pick there, too.
John Gibson was the other guy. They took Raquel and Gibson with the Leaf picks, and the Leafs moved up to take Tyler Biggs.
That's a swing and a miss, isn't it?
Throw a barf.
That's gross on both ends. Biggs, I don't even know if he's playing anymore.
Dude, he's not in the game.
No, he is. He's in Kalamazoo playing in the East Coast League.
Yeah. So, and Raquel's scoring 20-plus, and Gibson's a starting goalie on a playoff team. Anyway, moving on.
Moving along.
Our daily torture session.
Had to bring it up. What also sticks out, though, about these deals are the teams that are making them. I mean, Arizona made the deal for Stone earlier in the week, but we're still waiting on Colorado, and Arizona and Colorado have been out of the race for 2 or 3 months. But now you got teams, I guess, who are throwing their hats out of the ring in Carolina, Detroit, Dallas. Like, we're finally getting to some more clarity in terms of which teams are going to be sellers between now and the trade deadline. And I think the most interesting team between now and Wednesday at 3 o'clock is Tampa Bay, because they lost in regulation last night. That was a big loss to Calgary. So now they're 6 out of a playoff spot. They got 22 games left. Stamkos is skating, but it doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon. There's reports out today they actually tried to acquire Shattenkirk and offer him a 7-year, $6 million deal, but he turned it down, so that's why the trade didn't go through. And they've got They got some guys that have to get paid at the end of the year. Johnson, Drouin, and Palat are all RFAs. So what do you think Tampa does between now and not only the trade deadline, but even throughout the offseason?
Well, I think the contracts that are the most dangerous are when you're paying guys between $4 and $6 million. And Tampa is going to have to decide. And the reason I think those are really dangerous is because you get really good players, but they're not players that can carry the load. Now, Chicago blew their brains out on Taves and Kane, Seabrook. They still got Hossa. I mean, they got incredibly lucky with Duncan Keith to sign him to that deal. But they're not going to have a middle class of salary. When guys get into that a couple of million dollars plus range, like $2 to $4 to $5 million, those guys are going to go. And that's where Tampa's going to have to make their decisions. There's just no room for them. And so you've got, they signed Kucherov for a two-year deal. So not this July 1st, but next July 1st, you got to deal with him.
He did a three-year deal, right, Ray?
I'm sorry?
He did a three-year deal, didn't he?
Oh, three? I thought he did two.
Yeah. But you're right, it's not this July 1st. The next July 1st, they can start to extend.
You have to start to extend him. Then you've got, so you're going to keep him. Now you got Johnson, Palat, and Drouin. You can't keep them all. You're going to keep two of those guys, if you can.
Won't be easy. Another offseason where people are focused on Yzerman and what he's going to do.
And so they, he jumped the queue a bit and signed Vasilevsky. So, I mean, there's no way, I don't see any way that Bishop can be back. Now, does Bishop become in play right now to a team that thinks they're okay, but their goalies aren't very,
I'm Calgary. I'm circling the wagons again.
Right now?
Yes.
Well, they're right on the cusp, aren't they?
Well,
they're playing
why
well.
Not?
They're actually playing well now.
Why not?
Yeah.
Tree Living doesn't have a deal at the end of the year anyway. See if you can pull it off.
But what do you pay? That's the question. Like, what is Ben Bishop, what is his value right now?
What, dollar-wise or player-wise?
I would say trade-wise. In terms of trade. It would have to be a first-round pick.
They would want a defenseman for sure.
Okay.
Well, so. I'm not trading a young. You can take Weidman in a first-round pick if you want.
Well, they don't. I mean,
it'd be one of those young defensemen like Shillington, wouldn't it, Ray? Isn't that what they would do?
Well, I would. I mean, after watching him at the World Junior, I'm not thinking he's a difference maker.
So it'd have to be more than that.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
But you got a guy that you haven't signed, right. So that's going to bring your price down, for sure. I mean, they're top four. They're not touching that. You're not getting into Brody or Hamilton.
Not for a rental goalie. No way.
No. I mean, there's no chance.
No.
So you're getting an underwhelming return, but isn't it better to get some return? Especially since you're six out and you got to climb over all these teams to get there.
And they're all playing each other, so there's 2 points being awarded every night. I think Tampa's got to look at square in the mirror and just say, we're sellers. It's not going to happen, I don't think, for them.
But see, the thing is, it's different. Some teams are sellers and they're miles away. Tampa can be a seller and reset.
Yep.
And not be that far away.
Right. Just accept, hey, it was a down year. Stuff happens. We're back at it next year.
I mean, if they were, as Bob reported, that Shattenkirk deal, they know where their weakness is. Their weakness is on the blue line. They got two really good defensemen, and then there's a cliff to the next guys. Hedman and Strowman are really good, and then they got a bunch of five and sixes. That's kind of how they look at it.
That's right.
And so they've, if Shattenkirk's not interested, which obviously he's not, because he turned down that kind of money, the only thing the Blues would have been able to offer him is an eighth year on the contract.
An eighth year?
Right, because he would have been their own free agent.
Quickly to the Blues, Ray, were you surprised to see Patrick Berglund get signed to a five-year extension today?
Yeah, a little bit. I go back to late November, I got written in my notes that he hadn't scored. And then he got red hot. They know him. I mean, Craig, you're a manager. You've been through this. Teams seem to be more comfortable with what they know than what the unknown might be. Like, if you don't sign Berglund,
you got to go find something else.
Then you've got to trade him by the deadline, right?
Yeah.
And so you trade him, you I don't know whatever you get back for him, but they must feel that under $4 million, this is a player that they're not going to replace that easily. They must.
Yeah, looking at the marketplace, right?
Yeah, looking at what's out there, and they go, you know what, there's other guys there. We could pay the same money and have a bigger question mark. They know Berglund as a person. They know him as a player. You know, to me, they kind of, you know, they've kind of wanted more from him a lot. And the last few months, he's been outstanding. But, you know, I guess they decided that was, they're comfortable enough with that.
Well, I agree with your premise. They know him, so keep what we know, and he's priced right.
They paid him, so he's sticking around. All right, buddy, enjoy the weekend, and I'm sure trades will be going down, and Leafs Habs tomorrow night, so we'll break it down on Monday.
Oh, one last question.
Yes.
Will you be wearing your alumni jacket watching the game tomorrow night or on Trade Center?
I will wear this jacket for every home game on the couch, and I'm going to wear it to dinner parties.
Really?
Do you think that's offside if I wore my Leafs alumni jacket to a dinner party?
Yes. I mean, you might as well wear your jersey.
It's a nice jacket.
It's a really nice jacket, Ray.
Oh, it's a great jacket. You might as well wear your jersey. They're beautiful jerseys, too.
The jersey's a little aggressive, but this jacket, I think, is a perfect smoking jacket.
It actually really is.
Yes, but to wear it to a dinner party, hey, everybody, do you know who I am? If you don't, I'm one of the Leaf alumni.
It is a bit of a superhero move.
Last time I checked, that's a pretty neat thing to be able to say to somebody.
Oh,
it's an unreal thing to say, so why do you have to say it? You don't need to. They know.
Nah.
People know the O-Dog.
Piss on it, man. If I'm in the States, they need to know.
You could go into a dinner party with your jacket and one of Hayes' lasagnas.
Ooh.
You would be the star.
Maybe we do some kind of
maybe prize. A mashup.
You know, a prize pack. Like, you get to wear the jacket, take a pic with the jacket in the lasagna.
I saw the picture. When I saw the picture of lasagna, you know what I thought it was at first? I thought it was chicken wings smothered in cheese, melted cheese.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but thank you, Craig.
I'll tell you what, I was craving that lasagna today.
Wasn't it outstanding?
Was it good? Yeah.
I talk a good game, but I follow through every time.
I am so hungry right now.
Well, I can hardly wait for Wednesday when we have a couple of big slabs of that lasagna.
Well, we'll see. I haven't fully
committed
to that.
That's not happening, dude. He's not doing it twice in 2 weeks.
I don't know, Ray. We'll see.
Grind a little effort out there, would you, Hayes?
I'll try, buddy, just for you.
Oh, I'd love it. That would be great. Thanks.
All right, man. We'll do it on Monday. Ray Ferraro and Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Always got the alumni jacket on, and it looks good, man.
It's a good jacket.
Looks very good.
Jacket.
I want to point something out because my sister sent me an email this morning. Speaking of the Maple Leaf alumni, a bunch of them are going to be up at the Barry Molson Center April 21st for a great cause. Get tickets to show up beforehand. You can go on the ice, watch the guys play, be there for the VIP afterwards. I was hoping maybe you could become a part of that.
I don't get asked to those types of things
anymore. Well, you should be.
No.
You should be a part of it.
I did them when I had no job, but I have a job now, man. I'm too busy.
That's true, and it's Friday night, so you'll be on the show anyway.
Good point.
April 21st. BarryRotary.com at my old stomping grounds, Barry Molson Center. My picture's up in the, well, it's on the wall. Team picture.
Shame?
No, it's a team picture. I'm actually up on the wall.
Okay, well, it's not your picture.
Well, you're right, but you know what I mean.
You're in the picture.
I'm in the picture. It's a cool event, April 21st. Check it out if you're in the GTA. Ross Atkins will join us, GM of the Jays.
I'm mailing that one in.
Okay, so Craig and I will hit this one out of the park. This is Overdrive TSN 1050. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Adjua.
A slow drive on the eastbound 401, but some good news first. Eastbound 401 collector problems at Islington. Collision tying up that left lane is cleared. A little bit of a situation. Southbound 427 collectors before the QEW. We have a ladder. It's blocking that middle lane MTO en route to get that picked up for you. And getting reports of fog north of the GTA. If you're driving through this, don't forget to make sure your full lighting system is on. Drizzle, rain, and maybe even a thunderstorm for tonight. Temperatures rising by the morning for tomorrow. Your Saturday looking pretty gray and muggy. We'll get some rain. It clears up in the afternoon. Temperatures falling to 2. Think about it. No other tropical destination gives families so much to do, see, explore, and discover. Authentica Cuba. See it all at gocuba.ca. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjua Nsiayabwa.
Raise your sports IQ with Naylor and Landsberg in the morning, Monday from 5:30 to 9 a.m. on TSN 1050.
Did you know since 2011, the average annual timeshare maintenance fee has increased by 17%? Stop rising maintenance fees with a deal that protects your wallet for the rest of your life. Visit timeshareexitteam.ca and take advantage of their free consultation with an industry expert. Thousands are now free of their timeshare and maintenance fees, all absolutely risk-free, because of Timeshare Exit Team's 100% money-back guarantee. Visit timeshareexitteam.ca today. TimeshareExitTeam.ca.
Vacation or new car? Fresh ocean breezes or new car smell? Unlimited beverages or front beverage holders?
Why not have both? Purchase any new Toyota at Maple Toyota and receive double the Aeroplan miles to go towards your next vacation. That's 10,000 miles. And get rates from 0% on many models like the Toyota Corolla and RAV4 during Maple Toyota's Smart Buy event. Maple Toyota, next to Wonderland and online at MapleToyota.com.
Gracias, amigo!
Part of the Zanken Auto Group.
Selling your home can be a stressful time, so why not make it as easy as possible by calling the agent I would call if I was putting my home up for sale? Frank Leo, broker at RE/MAX West. This is Dave Naylor, here to tell you about the man who will sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, or he'll buy it. That's the Frank Leo Guaranteed Home Selling System. He has hundreds of buyers lined up because he spends hundreds of thousands of marketing dollars to create this incredible demand. Sometimes people need to sell for difficult reasons. Frank Leo's Guaranteed Home Selling System recognizes this and has the experience to handle these situations. Like John and Jean, who wanted to get their home sold fast with minimal inconvenience. In only 6 days, they received $101,000 over their asking price with an ideal closing date. It's not hard to figure why Frank Leo has sold more properties than any RE/MAX agent in the country. Get your home sold guaranteed by calling the agent I would call. Frank Leo at 416-917-5466. That's 416-917-LION. Or online at GetLeo.com. That's GetLeo.com. And start packing.
Perez slams the door on Tiger. I'm Scott Ferguson with the TSN 1050 Sports Center update. Pat Perez is hardly a household name on the PGA Tour, but that certainly didn't stop him from going off on Tiger Woods.
Bottom line is, he knows he can't beat anybody. He knows it. I mean, it's a guy shot 77. That guy can't shoot 77.
No.
You know, and then what does he do the next day? Oh, my back's going. He knows he can't beat anybody.
Perez claims that Tiger is only trying to play now to satisfy his endorsement deals. The Raptors will have Serge Ibaka in the lineup for the first time when they take on Boston at the ACC tonight. PJ Tucker, a game-time decision to tip just after 8 o'clock. NHL trades Anaheim, picking up right winger Patrick Eves from Dallas for a second-round pick in June that could turn into a first-rounder, and Detroit dealing Thomas Yurko to Chicago for a third-round pick in June. Now Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins joining Overdrive on the voice of the Raptors, TSN 1050, Toronto.
Like this is a bit of a stressful situation for you right now. You good?
Yeah, I'm talking to Steph.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what she's doing back there, but...
Well, she's mailing it in Friday.
Anyway, Ross Atkins is going to join us here in a moment. And the Jays kick off their spring training tomorrow against the Braves, and Bartolo Colon is slated to be on the mound for the Atlanta Braves.
I would love to be a GM at spring training.
Oh.
Do some observing in the AM, 12 o'clock standard tea time, and then God knows what.
They do tend to do their work in the morning during spring training.
Dude, they're adios by what time?
Well, let's ask the GM right
now. All right.
Let's get an itinerary.
They have games at night.
Not generally. It's usually a mid-afternoon, early afternoon.
Let's find out the routine.
All right, here's the GM of the Jays, Ross Atkins. Do you get to golf at all during spring training?
Be honest.
No, not much. Usually there's one outing where you're playing with, you know, three guys you just met for the first time and you're raising some money. And I don't even think the Jays have one. I think we do ours in Toronto, so won't be playing any golf down here.
That is so disappointing.
I wish I could.
Ross, I can only tell you,
great courses. Like, just you should be teeing it up every afternoon and enjoying
it. You just burst Jeff O'Neill's bubble because Jeff said he would like to be a Major League Baseball president, GM, because he would be golfing at spring training.
Well, I'd probably I think
I think there's some that do. Yeah, I think there's some that do, and maybe get a little work done on the course. It's you know, certainly not judging those who do, but you know, we're we try to pack it in when we're down. It's the one time of the year where we're all under one roof, where we have, you know, we have 250 people working in baseball operations and over 200 players, and this is the one time of the year that everyone's coming through one place. So it's a really important time for us to be present.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, probably the biggest news out of the gate was, of course, the status of Josh Donaldson and his calf issue, and he's expected to miss 2 or 3 weeks of training. How concerning is this in terms of projecting how it's going to factor into the regular season?
It's not. We're not thinking about it that way, and we're fortunate that we're not. Right now, all signs are that he will have a complete recovery. He's recovering very quickly. He feels great. He's excited, saying all the right things. All the subjective and objective box are being checked. So feel as though that time frame is a very good one, and we're optimistic he's going to need it.
You know, Ross, you talk about everybody under one roof, the entire organization, players, management, coaches, and everything. Like, how do you, when you're evaluating the players, and I know that this is constant, but it's spring training, where are those lines between, like, the young kids, the A-ball players, the kids that are AAA moving in and showing what they're capable of as they're trying to move up the levels?
Yeah, it's such a great question, and it is something that ideally you try to break down completely, but in order to do that, everyone has to be respectful. And, you know, that's what we're striving towards, where there is no hierarchy, and, you know, our major league players are in and around our younger players and can learn from, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more learning going up the ladder in most cases, but, you know, as much as you can, we try to break that down. Now, having said that, you got to be efficient, and you know, major league players need to have the best resources. They need to be prioritized in terms of whether it's recovery, getting better, getting faster, getting stronger, whatever it is, they've got to have the best. So prioritizing that and organizing that amount of people to ensure efficiency and maximizing talent is, you spend a lot of time on it. And that's why we have a lot of people thinking about it, not just me. You know, we have a strong baseball ops group, a strong high-performance group, a strong player development group, and a lot of experience amongst them that are constantly thinking about exactly what you're talking about.
Well, it's really what makes baseball so unique is there are so many different levels and there are so many different players, and the draft is more extensive than any other draft in terms of the Big Four in North America. Yet, when it's time to go, you get 25 guys who are available to you. And that has obviously been the conversation with the media, with the fan base, and it happens every year when you get to spring training. And I'll ask you to detail it. How many true battles are taking place in terms of everyday play? How many positional battles are currently in front of you this year?
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I would say it this way. There's some uncertainty in left field, and, you know, not much uncertainty at first base, but it'll be interesting how that shakes out. A lot of it will have to do with health, the health of Steve Pierce, the performance of others, the performance of Zeke, the performance of Upton, the performance of Justin Smoke. And, you know, so, you know, you can call left field somewhat of a battle. But, you know, I would expect that all of the guys that I just mentioned are on our team and contributing in some way. And then the bullpen is truly where it's interesting in professional baseball, too, because with relief pitching, you know, it's not going to be as much about, you know, everything that a relief pitcher has done in their career and everything that, you know, they've done over spring training. For relievers, oftentimes it's who's hot. And so it's at the end of spring training, over those last 10 days, who looks to be the best prepared to help our team win. So we have five guys that are relatively guaranteed spots, and then we'll have two open spots there. So I guess you could call it three positions that, you know, 5 to 10 players, depending on how you're looking at it, are battling for.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, you didn't mention the rotation, which I think we were all aware of. We knew what the 1 through 5, at least on paper, is going to look like. And Marcus Stroman came out earlier in the week, and he's always a confident guy, and he said, listen, we think we got the best rotation in baseball, and we expect that this year. Last year, you guys were right there as one of the best rotations, certainly in the American League. Would you be happy, would you sign off right now on simply replicating last year's numbers, or do you expect or do you believe your rotation can be even better?
Yes and yes. So, you know, hey, if we replicated last year, then I think there's not a person or organization that wouldn't say that that was success. However, yes to the second question, because there is upside. There's upside to Marcus Stroman. There's upside to Aaron Sanchez. There's the potential of Liriano being a full season of what he was with us. So if all of those things happen, then we'll be better if half and Estrada are what they were last year. You know, having said that, you know, five players to be what they were or better, that occurring doesn't happen. We actually project for some regression in our rotation because of how good they were last year and try to offset that. But that's the pure objective. Now, these guys are human beings. They're easy guys to bet on. They're real easy guys to bet on. I mean, that Aaron Sanchez, what he's accomplished already in his career is not by chance, not by luck. The work that he put in, we've talked about it probably too much, but it's so palpable. It's so easy to see why he's having so much success, and he's in and around some pretty special guys.
Well, in which areas would you be expecting them to make up for possible regression? Which areas on your team do you need to maybe elevate the production if the rotation takes a bit of a step back?
You know, in when I say regression, it's not, you know, it's actually more one guy might regress and another guy might be better. So I think overall our rotation will be, you know, relatively close to what it was based on health, you know, if we're just healthy. So, you know, if whoever that player is takes a small step back, we've also we're optimistic that there's a chance that one or two of those other guys actually takes a step forward. So it's not a big regression overall, but we are feeling good about the depth of our bullpen, the length of our bullpen, how many guys that have pitched late and often could potentially help us, and exceptionally excited about some of the younger arms with options that, you know, hopefully we find another Joe Biagini, whether that's Glenn Sparkman or Ryan Tapera or Aaron Loop, whoever it is that comes to the forefront and has a year like Joe Biagini's, that will be what it takes for us to have a World Series.
So you'd be looking at the arms then to maybe make up for some potential stepbacks as opposed to your offense, not necessarily reverting to where they were 2 years ago, but do you expect more production from your offense this year?
No, I mean, it's a fair question and a good one, but it's really just about the overall production of a team. So, you know, we are optimistic and confident that we have a very good team and a contending team and one that is going to be exciting to watch for a lot of different reasons. There's too many names to mention, but teams are what win. And, you know, that's just the pure objective. And what will take us over the top will be leadership, will be environment, will be culture, will be, you know, these human beings, not just professional baseball players, doing exceptional things to do something special together. And as they're working individually to do their jobs, take care of business.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, obviously we on this show and other shows in this market have been talking about Jose Bautista for years. And last year he had a down year in large part because of injuries. This year was a bit of a different offseason than I'm sure he was hoping for. But in the end, he's back in Toronto. He is healthy at spring training. I'm confident he will have a bounce back year. But you were the guys who were committed to that because you brought him back. Take us through the thought process in terms of why you believe Bautista can have a bounce back year.
You know, there's the history, right? There's that. There's what he's done in his career. And, how proven of an offensive, defensive, complete player that he's been for some time. And then there's the subjective of the reasons why he wasn't quite that player last year. It started with, some shoulder fatigue at the start of the year, then a knee injury, and then a toe injury. So those actually the reverse, the toe, then the knee. And, that where his body is now, how he feels, his range of motion, his overall strength, all things are better than his starting point last year. So that gives us the confidence. It's the track record and then all of the subjective and objective measurements that we can see about him physically, because his plate discipline and power is not going away anytime soon.
That's Ross, for sure. My time as an athlete, no executive ever said that I showed up to training camp in the best shape of my career and destined for a career year. So in honor of that, who's the Blue Jay that showed up in the best shape of his career and is destined to have a career year? Pick a guy.
Oh, man. Two guys, I'll tell you what, two guys are coming to mind. And, the thing is that their career years, they just had. Josh Donaldson and Aaron Sanchez are in exceptional shape and had incredible off seasons. Typically your best players, when you have guys that are working just as hard as or harder than everyone in and around them, that's a really good sign. But, those guys had great off seasons, are in exceptional shape. But, man, I feel horrible just mentioning two of them because I have 15 guys in my head as I'm talking about those two.
I was hoping you were going to say John Gibbons. Just rolled in a great
that's
shape.
Guy, man.
Feeling
that's
good. Guy. Career year ahead of him, right, John Gibbons?
Yeah,
I hope so.
Well, actually, you're right. That should have been my answer.
Yeah, that would have been very diplomatic.
That's right.
Enjoy yourself. Get the clubs out if you can, and we'll catch you back in Toronto later in the year.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a good night.
Here's Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays.
Man, we must have to up our energy level.
Did we catch him?
Can we just maybe, Mark, do you have it? We might have a possible yawn from Rossi.
Not much uncertainty at first base, but it'll be interesting how that shakes out.
I think so, man. I got
an
respect for that.
O-dog yawn.
You should have a lot of respect for that. And he stormed through, gave us some good material, good answers. End of the day, man, they go to work really early, right?
But I do laugh about it, though, because you cannot make the slightest mistake now anywhere. Somebody's ready to jump all over it.
Right, we'll get you. We'll find you out there. Jeff Weltman's coming up, Raptors GM. We'll see what – maybe he'll fall asleep during the interview.
Let's find it.
He's not falling asleep. He's excited about tonight's game and seeing Ibaka in the lineup.
He should. Yeah. He should. And we'll get an update on what he expects out of Ibaka. Is P.J. Tucker going to play tonight? And what does he have to see out of his team to get this train back on the rails?
Show
man.
On the road, baby.
Come on now.
Come on, Rossi. No
hey
more yawns.
Jeff Weltman, Duffy coming up. Future headlines. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Jeff Weltman, GM of the Raps, in about 10 minutes, Duffy in studio. A lot of people Googling the name Pat Perez, trying to figure out who this character is.
We have some dirt on this cat, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to play the audio in the next hour. Because
let's do it right now.
We don't have enough time, and we got Weltman coming up. But he takes a healthy run at Tiger Woods. But I got to be honest, his analysis, I think, is accurate. You just don't expect one of his counterparts to actually say it on the record.
Well, I'm sure Tiger Woods has put a lot of money in those guys' pockets to take a swipe. It's the truth, but...
Listen, I guess you're always entitled to your opinion, but Pat Perez isn't necessarily in the Hall of Fame or on pace to be.
Dude, Pat Perez likes to party.
He's the 67th ranked player in the world.
One-time winner at the Bob Hope. And he said he partied like a machine after that win.
All right, we'll let you hear what Pat Perez had to say about Tiger. Jeff Weltman, GM of the Raps, on the big game tonight, and what Ibaka and Tucker are going to bring to this team, and Duthie in studio, future headlines. Leafs Habs tomorrow night on TSN 1050. Should be a good weekend. We'll tee it up in the final hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.